the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You're tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hi.
Aloha.
Hi. Hello.
Good to see y'all this morning.
Yeah, we're doing great, man. Great day. Today is the feast day of St. Anthony of Padua. My main man.
We are celebrating with Damian today.
Yeah, we started out with some nice treats from the Heavenly Donut, and it's only going to continue to get better throughout the day, and we want to begin this day with prayer. So here we go. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Anthony, faithful servant of Christ, you offered comfort and consolation to all who came to you in times of trouble. Pray for us now that we may know true peace of mind, heart, and soul. Help us to grow in faith so that we may be free from all useless and needless anxiety in our life. Fill us with a complete and lasting confidence in God's healing graces. We call upon you when we lose something. Let us also call upon you to help those who are lost and seeking to be reunited with God our Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We will learn more about St. Anthony of Padua later on in today's show, but we have a wonderful lineup for you, starting off with some events in our listening area we will give you details about. All of these events can be found on our website calendar at ccmedia.live. Claire Willis joins us in 18 minutes. She is the assistant to the superintendent of Catholic schools in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And today we're going to be talking about mental health in the classrooms and students. So I know that it's summertime, but we can always prepare for the fall and get ready and see how Catholic schools are talking about mental health. In 35 minutes, Gil Bailey joins us. He is the founder of the Cornerstone Forum. Lots of difficult words this morning. Looks like I need a second cup of coffee. And today we're talking about his book, The Apocalypse of a Sovereign Self. It's going to be a great interview with Gil. You're going to learn at least something. So looking forward to having this conversation with
really
him. He's a very intelligent
to our
man.
Times. It really does apply to our times. And so, but there's a way out. That's the part that gives me hope. So I'm looking forward to this one. Yep.
Yes, me too. And 48 minutes, Matt Estrada joins us. We love Matt. Matt is the founder of Catholic Aging with the Peace with Dementia Rosary. He'll be giving us his update for the month. And so if you have any questions about caregiving or aging gracefully, Matt is your person that you can ask all of these questions to, right, Damian?
You betcha.
And Damian is aging gracefully, I might add.
I am, because I talk to Matt just about every day. And he gives me good advice. No, I'm kidding. Not quite every day. But often enough to age gracefully, I hope. In the meantime, let's talk about the weather, because that is definitely not aging gracefully. Mm. It's going to be a nice, bright, H-O-T, hot, sunshiny day. And when I say hot, I mean hot. 95 is the high.
Oh.
Heat index about 102, 103. Low even tonight is only going to be 78 degrees.
Wow.
Saying it's going to be muggy. Winds are out of the south at about 10 to 15 miles an hour. That's about the only hope we got as far as trying to cool down is the breeze. Tomorrow, pretty much the same. Maybe an isolated shower could help cool things down a little bit. We'll be breezy still, 10 to 15 miles an hour, winds out of the southwest. And the high going to be 95. But hey, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, terrible. 99 is the expected high for Friday. 100 degrees on Saturday.
Really?
Oh, so prepare accordingly.
But it is summer.
Drink water. Stay hydrated.
Whether we want it or not, it's here.
It's summer, yeah.
Right now, temperatures in the 70s everywhere, but 81 in New Orleans, already heating up in the Crescent City.
good Tuesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Salt is a common element that is often used as a preservative. For example, it preserves meat from decaying and to stench and worms. In a similar way, Jesus' disciples are called to preserve the world from the putrefaction of sin. Salt also flavors food. In a similar way, holiness savors our lives by showing us in what our true destiny and happiness lies. Tragically, many humans have lost their saltiness. That is, they have become tasteless through sin. This may have happened to us. Every Christian is called to be salt, that is, to preserve the whole world from the corruption of sin. However, what good are we if we lose our saltiness by conforming to the corruption of the world, which makes our life bland and empty? This is indeed a great danger. In the opening of St. John's Gospel, we learn that Jesus is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Because Jesus is the light, we are called to be his reflected light that illuminates a world lost in the moral confusion and Babel talk. Many people have lost the ability to even understand the concepts of right and wrong, much less can they apply its principles. It is vital that the light of Christ is not hidden in us. St. Hilary of Poitiers taught that we must hang our light on the wood of the cross. We do this when we embrace the ordinary actions of our day with great love and kindness. Well, this is the little way of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Then the radiance of our light illuminates those around us. St. Augustine adds the wise caution, even though one is seen by others doing good works, in one's conscience, one ought to have the simple intention of glorifying and loving God. It is only for the sake of God's glory that we should allow our good works to become known. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
This is Wake Up, Damian Colano, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, and it's Tuesday morning, everyone. Time to share with you a few events in and around the area. Here's one I think is really neat. You're invited to consecrate your family to the two hearts of Jesus and Mary this Friday and Saturday morning at 9 a.m. at St. Catherine of Siena Church in Metairie. They're going to have two masses, one on Friday, as I said, and one on Saturday, 9 a.m. Bring your family, bring your friends, but it's a great opportunity to really tune your heart to the truth. Let's just put it that way.
Hearts.
Mm-hmm. Hearts to
both
the
hearts, truth. Huh? Yeah.
Your heart to the truth.
To the consecrating your, I love that, consecrating
both
your
hearts.
Family. Yes,
yeah.
To two hearts. Yes, a natural family planning presentation will be given on June 29th from 7 to 8 p.m. in the Melanson Center at St. Catherine of Siena. That's a busy parish.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Yeah, Angela Paris will provide an overview of the many benefits and options of natural family planning. There's also going to be a panel of married couples providing brief testimonies. Couples and young women are invited to attend this free presentation. And there is a lot to learn with natural family planning. I remember my wife and I went through that, you learn a lot more than you just, you know, than mm-hmm. the basics of, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Fertility. There'll be a time for questions and resources will be provided. So go to ccmedia.live for more info.
Yes. Well, a mother-daughter breakfast is happening on June 17th, sponsored by Magnificat, which is a ministry to Catholic women. They will host this from 9 a.m. to noon at the Knights of Columbus Hall, St. Jerome Council number 6746 in Kenner. Guest speaker will be Kim Lukinovich, and she will share the joys and challenges of motherhood as a beloved daughter of God. For more information and to register, you can go to ccmedia.live.
I don't know if you guys have plans yet for the 4th of July, but I think this is really special and something we need to continue the tradition of. An acclaimed soprano soloist by the name of Sarah Jane McMahon, she is going to be performing a Stars, Stripes, and Classic American Tune concert on July 2nd at 3 p.m. at St. Francis Xavier Church in New Orleans.
Yeah.
The concert's going to feature, of course, patriotic songs and popular music from American theater. A goodwill offering will be taken, but admission to the concert is free. They're even going to have hot dogs and the fixings for everyone
as well.
Yeah.
For more info, go to ccmedia.live.
Wow.
Oh, that's me. The Archdiocese of New Orleans and Springs in the Desert are partnering to offer Cherished, a retreat for those in a season of infertility, and that's on July 7th through 8th at St. Joseph's Abbey Retreat Center. Wherever you are on the path of infertility, join the Springs in the Desert team as they reflect on the emotional, relational, and spiritual aspects of infertility and the experience of infertility, and offer practical suggestions for strengthening your relationship with God and your spouse. And to register, visit springsinthedesert.org/NOLA.
Yes, you can also go to ccmedia.live. That's right, Dave. ccmedia.live is where you can find all of these events, and including this one. Do you sometimes think that God might be calling you to the religious life? Well, you can join the Daughters of St. Paul for a week of prayer, discernment, classes, media, and fun, and get an inside look at the life of a sister for yourself. An opportunity for high school women ages 14 to 18 is going on July 26th through the 31st, in Boston. Now, it is in Boston, but sometimes they do have these events in the local New Orleans area over at Pauline Books and Media. But you can definitely take a look and make a little summer trip to Boston. It might be a little hot, but it's worth it.
It'd be cooler, wouldn't it? It'd be cooler than here.
This would be a good time to take advantage of it. You bet.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. Well, we hope those events touched you in some way, shape, or form, or you pass on the info to friends and family members. In the meantime, don't go too far. Claire Willis with the Diocese of Baton Rouge, as far as education and schools go, she's going to be talking about a hot topic coming up on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 13th. Today we celebrate Saint Anthony of Padua. Anthony longed to be one of those closest to Jesus by dying for the faith. From his home in Portugal, he entered the Franciscan order and set out to preach to the Moors in Spain. However, an illness prevented Anthony from achieving his goal, so he sailed instead to Italy, where he was stationed in a small hermitage. There he spent most of his time praying, reading the scriptures, and doing humble tasks. At an ordination, where no one was prepared to speak, the humble and obedient Anthony hesitantly accepted the task. Anthony's sermon was astounding to those who expected something rough and unprepared. He became recognized as a great man of prayer, as well as a great scripture and theology scholar. After leading the friars in northern Italy for 3 years, Anthony made his home in Padua, where he died in 1231. Popular devotion has nominated Anthony as finder of lost objects, but he also could be the patron of those who find their lives completely uprooted and set in new and unexpected directions. He is a perfect example of turning one's life completely over to Christ. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our first guest today is Clara Willis. Clara is the assistant to the superintendent of Catholic schools and the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And just because it is summertime does not mean that Catholic schools and the Diocese of Baton Rouge is not super busy. Clara, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. It's always a pleasure.
It's great to have you with us today, and we're talking about quite a difficult topic, but I think it's something that we need to continue to bring up, especially to our youth, and that is mental health. That is such a buzzword, and it's been thrown around, I think, a lot lately with social media. So can you kind of explain to our listening audience how the Catholic schools and the Diocese of Baton Rouge is focusing on mental health?
Absolutely. So thank you for being willing to kind of tackle this tough topic with us this morning. You know, obviously the Catholic schools in the Diocese of Baton Rouge attend to over 14,000 youth. That's the population in our schools. Wow. And one of the things that we have really encountered over the past couple of years is just an increase in mental health challenges among our students, especially our teens. What we are seeing is an uptick in requests for services, both from our counselors in schools, as well as professional services beyond what we can offer in the schools for reasons such as depression, anxiety, and other feelings of hopelessness. And what we kind of are looking at it as a twofold issue is, number one, encountering the root cause for that so that we can address it at its core, but then also making available the resources that our kids need to really thrive and flourish in this life and continue to find hope and joy out of their lives and the lives in the future that they hold for us.
I know whenever I was in Catholic school, there was always a school counselor readily available for students. Is that the case still today? Is there a counselor for each Catholic school?
For the most part, yes. Most of our schools have at least one counselor. Some of ours are lucky to have multiple counselors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly our students have access to those counselors. What we're finding is our counselors are being tasked more and more with not only attending to the mental health needs of the students, but they have a lot of other administrative type responsibilities as well. It's not uncommon for counselors to be the testing coordinators for the school or also manage, some of the other logistical aspects of just student support, such as academic counseling. But what we're finding is students are seeking more needs for their social emotional wellness. So we have a counselors association that we meet regularly throughout the year to continue to provide support for our counselors, resources for them, training to keep them up to date on kind of best practices mm-hmm. and what we're seeing as trends with youth in schools. But the needs often are beyond what we can even manage in schools. So we've got to fortify what we're doing in the schools, but also work together with the community at large. That includes our parishes, our mental health professionals in the community to kind of wrap our arms around this really, in some ways, terrifying future that we're facing with students, children, experiencing, hopelessness and despair at greater rates than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah. I could imagine that's on the uptick, with social media and stuff, huh, Claire?
So, we do absolutely feel like one of the causes is just children having greater access to more information than they can really process at the young ages that they're experiencing it. So, because many of them are, have at the ready just information beyond what we experienced, of course, as children because of cell phones and devices and connection to both social media, but also the news, and that really amplified during the 3-ish years that they encountered the pandemic where, they turned inward as opposed to outward for connection. And that really has taken a toll on our children.
Goodness.
And what that means is, I'm sorry.
Well, I think also it's true, I don't see teens really turning on the news. I see them getting their news from platforms like TikTok and Instagram, and a lot of them aren't really on Twitter. And there's so much misinformation on those platforms, and anyone can create a video and post it and say that they are this person. You know, they're a doctor or they're a scientist or whatever, you know. So I think there's a lot of anxiety that comes with it. Sometimes I get wrapped in those videos and realize that 45 minutes has gone by, you know, and then kind of gathering your thoughts. So, but I'm really thinking more and more for high school students, Claire, because that's a difficult time in a young person's life. For many, it's a very challenging time, especially when there's tragedy involved in, a class, you know, losing someone in the class, losing a teacher, and trying to navigate that on top of what they're experiencing at home.
That's right. And unfortunately, what we've been seeing, and this is what some of the data coming out, is that we're also seeing higher incidences being reported of students feeling sad or hopeless, but also actually thinking about suicide. And that is just something we cannot let stand to the side and can't hope that this is going to fix itself. And again, because of their, you know, information at the ready and what comes to them rather than what they seek out, information and those algorithms and those social media, right? Like, will continue to feed them what they consume. So as they're reading more and more about either, you know, a video that talks about hopelessness or even tragedies and trauma, more of that gets fed to them. And so we are seeing higher incident rates of young people taking their own lives by suicide. And that is something that we consider one of our highest priorities this summer and moving into our years of figuring out how we as a full community, both in our schools and with the support of those around us, can arm ourselves with both knowledge and resources to combat this really terrible problem.
Well, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot here, but what is the solution that the diocese is putting together this summer to get ready for a new school year when it comes to mental health?
No, that's not on the spot. We've actually, we've been trying to, you know, wrap our heads around what we can actually do beyond prayer, because we certainly have been spending a lot of time on our knees about this one, is we have a diocesan core team, so a group of individuals from different departments in the diocese have been meeting over the course of the year to plan out a series of presentations, workshops, trainings on both suicide prevention and awareness, so to, again, arm all members of our church community and the community at large with information about what are the risk factors, kind of one of our higher risk groups of young people who might be thinking about, you know, might trend towards that. So it'd be students who obviously are experiencing some mental health challenges. And then once we can identify those risk factors, what are some of the warning signs that might start to escalate our worry for individuals within those risk groups? And when we find ourselves faced with noticing those warning signs, what do we do about it? So how do we connect the young people with the professional resources that they need? So we're actually hosting, the diocese is hosting a workshop in July, on July 18th and 19th. It's two presentations that'll be the same presentation. So hopefully everyone can find a time that works for them on this particular issue. So that, you know, number one, you can arm yourself with that knowledge and resources so that we can really start to pay attention to the needs of our youth and feel like we can do something about it. And so we'll have information up on our website. We'll be pushing it out to all the churches to put in their bulletins. We're sending it out to all the families. Anybody is invited. Anyone with a vested interest in our youth, which should be everyone, can come and hear from Father David Allen, who is kind of the mental health support for our clergy, and Miss Katie Zellix, who is a professional counselor within our diocese and has great experience in crisis counseling. And so the two of them together are putting forward a presentation that will really arm us again with some resources, because I think at least many of the adults I talk to feel very helpless when it comes to this matter. And it's also been an issue that's been rather taboo to talk about. And so the more we can talk about it, the more we can feel empowered to do something about it.
Absolutely. Is this a workshop that parents can go to as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we would encourage it, because especially if you have young people in your home, you need to know how to be looking out for those kiddos and recognize what you need to be watching for and then what you can do about it when you do start to worry.
I personally know some parents who did not have a clue that their son or daughter was thinking about committing suicide until they did. That's totally right. Caught off guard.
I know. So, I know. And it's such a tragedy. And we do believe that it's something that we can prevent. Yeah. It's just about really knowing what those warning signs are and then knowing what to do about it whenever you recognize them.
Claire, this is a lot of information. Where can we go for those who want to get in contact with you and find out about this workshop that's coming up later this summer?
Yes, so we will have all this information up on the diocesan website because this is an interdepartmental initiative, not just the Catholic Schools Office, but we're happy to be part of it. So that's, you know, the diocesan website, ciobr.org. But of course, anyone can always reach out to me directly. I'll make sure it's on our Catholic Schools website as well. But be looking out in the bulletins that will be coming up in the next few weekends. You should see an announcement for it with a link to sign up for anyone who is interested in attending one of the two sessions we'll offer on this presentation.
Thank you so much, Claire, for joining us. Claire Willis, Assistant to the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. You can go to diobr.org for more information. Thanks, Claire, for being with us today.
Thank you guys so much. Have a good one.
All right. Gail Bailey joins us when we return from the break. He's a founder of the Cornerstone Forum, and he's going to be talking about his book called The Apocalypse of a Sovereign Self. I guarantee you will learn at least one something.
Kind of
one
along the lines of what we were talking about. Yes. Right.
From this interview with Gail. Yes. So stay with us. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Past the hour on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. And our next guest, this book, just the title of the book speaks volumes, Damian. The Apocalypse of the Sovereign Self. And the author is Gil Bailey. And Gil, one of the first things I read, I actually just got the book on my desk this morning. Well, one of the first blurbs I read was about it. The present age has become utterly unhinged as the apotheosis of the therapeutic self has, as Bailey notes, morphed into the utter dissolution of the self. Goodness gracious. Gil, help us out.
Well, it's a big issue.
Yeah.
The book really is about how we're actually made. And I was thinking about, you know, I've been doing interviews with, they're always short, and I'm trying to think, how do you talk about a book that's over 300 pages in a few, you know, a few minutes? And what it came to me was Psalm 139. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Nice. Nice.
Now, how are we made? If we're wonderfully made, how could it be that we're also fearfully made?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something about us that if it's honored is life-giving, and if it's betrayed is soul-crushing?
Mm.
And what distinguishes us from other creatures? And the answer is religious longing.
Yes.
Religious longing.
We are hardwired looking for God. Am I right?
We are hardwired looking for God.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what do we do with that longing?
Right.
And we have squandered it. Our ancestors worshipped everything under the sun. They worshipped corpses, rocks, volcanoes, the sun and the moon, and so on.
Yeah.
So it's an irrepressible longing that we have. And we have... If it's betrayed, as the psalmist of 139 said, it's a fearful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a woeful thing if we betray that longing because we invest it in things that are not worthy of it.
And so
what's happened, the title of the book and the subtitle are intention. Mm-hmm. The Apocalypse of the Sovereign Self is what we've done with it in our contemporary world.
Yeah.
Especially the Western world, especially this country. And the subtitle is The Answer to It, which is the Christian Mystery of Personhood.
That's the beauty of it, is you actually have an antidote, and that really helps, because from what I see, the sovereign self, it has become in not worshiping God, but worshiping ourselves, and pretty much going so far inward, we're imploding. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What I did, again, in the interest of brevity, I spent some time thinking about this. I would say that the apocalypse, or to divide the title and the subtitle, is because the book, in a way, is the first half of the book is about the apocalypse, the sovereign self, and the second about the Christian mystery of personhood.
Yes.
So you could put in tension two one-sentence quotations. The quotation that would summarize the apocalypse of the sovereign self is Justice Anthony Kennedy's decision in the Planned Parenthood Casey case. And he said, and I quote, "At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence,
oh my,
of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life." In other words, I can make it up any way I want to. If I wake up one day and I think I'm a woman, I'm a woman.
Yeah.
I can be anything. It's entire freedom is unlimited by any reality other than my will. And this is the premise that's making a total hash of Western civilization at this moment.
And it is amazing to see something like this in our lifetime just suddenly catch fire. And as it says here, it's become totally unhinged, because, I mean, there's very bizarre things going on all around us. But if we're talking about a societal antidote or a cure for this, what do you propose there? What do we do?
Well, the book lays out an extended argument about that, but it can be summarized. I summarized the apocalypse of the sovereign self with Justice Kennedy's sentence. The Christian alternative, the mystery of personhood, can be summarized in one sentence from St. Paul. I live, now no longer I, but Christ lives in me.
Ah, okay.
So the first half of the book is an analysis of how Paul's understanding has been eclipsed by Justice Kennedy's understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And the second half of the book is an exploration into the revelation of the mystery of personhood,
right,
which Paul exemplifies.
And that's understanding our selves as created by God, and then after that, thinking other-centered rather than self-centered? Is that where you're going with that?
Sure. Well, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's the Christianity has left a huge imprint on us.
Yeah.
And it if we allow Christianity to dissipate, we begin to lose our bearings, we begin to behave in absolutely outrageous ways, and to really be lost.
And I
would add one more thing, just in the terms of brevity,
mm-hmm.
or summation. The what's happening in human history, and I have two sources for this, we have to always remember that the drama of history is a drama that has been revealed to us by Christ, so that the most important event that ever happened, that would ever happened or ever will happen in history, happened 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And since that moment, now I'm going to quote the great Catholic theologian Hans Urs von Balthasar. He said, "History itself now consists of the mutual intensification of the yes and the no to Christ."
Wow. Yeah.
History now the mutual intensification of the yes and the no to Christ.
Wow.
That's... And this, we can see the no to Christ.
Yeah.
So blatantly.
Right.
It's hanging in front of the White House this morning. if you know what I mean.
I do. No, you're absolutely right.
So this, the intensification of the essence of Christ.
Yes.
Another person I quote in this book is Bob Dylan.
I saw that. Right.
Who in his 1979 album, he has a song called Gotta Serve Somebody.
That's one of my favorites. Yes.
It may be the devil or it may be the Lord.
Right.
But you gotta serve somebody.
Yeah. I thought that was profound when I was a kid.
So there you have it. You have one of the most gifted theologians of our age saying history consists of the mutual intensification of the yes and no to Christ.
Yeah.
And one of the most gifted and perplexing vocal artists of our age.
Right.
Says it may be the devil.
Or it may be the Lord, one of the two. Gil?
This is the world.
Yes, it is. Where can we pick up your book, Gil?
Well, it's on any place you can get Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Wonderful.
And by the way, if people want to get it, I love the title, but not many people would remember that right off the bat.
That's true.
But if you go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, you type in my last name, Baila. It's Bailey with an I-E.
Very
and
good.
And the word apocalypse.
Very good. It'll pop right up. Very good. Gil, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. We will be right back. It's 7:44.
12 minutes before the top of the hour on this Tuesday morning. Thank you for tuning your heart to the truth. Thank you for watching us on Catholic Life TV in Baton Rouge. And we want to say a big thank you to Matt Estrada, who's with us this morning. He is the founder of Catholic Aging with Peace, with Dementia Rosary, with monthly updates. And this month, our topic is Growing Old Gracefully. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Damian. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, and I'm growing old gracefully.
He looks graceful.
So I might even be able to do a testimonial before it's over with.
That's great.
But Matt, let's you know, everybody is. I mean, you've got all these remedies out there. Stay young, look young, get Botox, get this tox. Bottom line is, how are we growing old gracefully in today's day and age? And are we?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if we're doing a very good job of that. So, and I say that because, you know, Matt's definition, what I think of when I see the term growing old gracefully, I see people who are, they mean that they're not fighting aging.
Yeah, they're fighting.
They're taking care of themselves and everything. But I think that, you know, what we need to think about is growing old in grace, accepting the things that are happening, taking care of ourselves. But certainly, the thing you mentioned, Botox and things like that, those are things that I think people think of when they think of growing old and gracefully. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. But I don't think I agree with you. In fact, my next question was, what graces should we pray for as we grow older?
Well, you know, I may have mentioned this in previous interviews, but a long time ago. So last year in 2022, Pope Francis had his catechesis of old age, and it was 17 to 18 of these papal audiences that he did throughout the year. He talked about the role of older people in our church and in the world, and all the things that, all the gifts that older adults have to give to future generations, all the things that they can do to grow in holiness. You know, assumably most older adults are retired. Let's say they are. Mm-hmm. That's a lot more time to go to adoration, to go to daily mass, to be able to provide catechesis, perhaps in their parish and also in their families, and making up for the deficits that there might be with teaching the truth of our faith. Because, as you know, if we go to the world to learn our Catholic faith, to learn our catechism, it's not going to be, you know, what we really teach and taught for 2,000 years.
I agree. In fact, I always felt that as you grow old, in, let's just say you're bedridden, Boy, and you, like I had an uncle-in-law, he said the rosary nonstop. He had beginning stages of Alzheimer's, but he knew how to say the rosary. Oh, wow. If he didn't say it 40, 50 times a day, I mean, it was just nonstop repetitive.
Wow.
But as we age, sometimes I believe that that is the vocation, is we pray for others.
There you go.
That's nice.
It is. You think about all of the cloistered nuns. You think about hermits and monks that are out there. That's what they're doing for us, right? They're praying for us while we're fighting the battle here, you know, with other people. They're cloistered. They're secluded. They're fighting the battle. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, if someone's bedridden, you know, some you know, society would say that person can't do anything for us. They're not productive, or they're actually a drain on us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the opposite, as you were saying, like they are, you know, they're our prayer warriors, and they may be what is keeping, you know, the earth from spinning out of control. So that's something for us to look forward to and find peace in.
Yeah. You know, there was a study recently, 60% of adults surveyed in this Pew Research study, ages 65 plus were asked, what makes you feel younger? And it, would you believe 60% of them said that they feel younger than they really were, while only 3% felt older? And some of the key reasons were less stress, staying active, hanging with family and friends, and having a purpose. And I have to believe that having the purpose had a lot to do with faith.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, a lot of people, you know, they may retire from their full-time job and their career, but they don't have a plan, or they might have some hobbies, but you know, some hobbies can be fulfilling, but others don't bring meaning. But yeah, that poll makes sense to me, that you know, people realize that that this is part, the faith is part of their purpose. Still, you know, it's one of the things we, you know, we're starting to talk a lot more about with Catholic aging, growing in virtue, being that gift to the world, and leaving a legacy, really. Like, and Pope Francis in those audiences, he says that there's no greater gift that a generation can pass along to the next generation. That's the faith. It's the teaching, but it's also the example that they show by going to adoration, by showing their belief in the real presence, by participating in processions, and you know, all these things that our parishes offer.
Yeah, be a good example is what you're saying, no matter how old you get.
Yes.
Look, I know we've got a couple of other things I want to touch on. You're still doing your support group, I know. I guess this Thursday, is there a meeting coming up?
Yes, yeah, this Thursday, I think it's the 15th, we'll be at Mary Queen of Peace in Mandeville in their parish life center at 6 p.m. But if folks want to drive the bridge, that's wonderful. There's no reservations to be made. Just kind of show up, and we'd love to meet you and have you. Even if you can just come this one time, because we are across the lake, but you know, we have a good crowd from the North Shore, and we love anybody from any part of town, the greater New Orleans area, to join us.
And what is it that we'll be focused on in your discussion group? Because a lot of people may be hearing this for the first time, but kind of say, well, I wonder what they're going to be focusing on or talking about. What goes on?
Yeah, so the basic structure of it is that we open with prayer, we close in prayer. We have some very brief education in the beginning, because I feel that the bulk of the benefit, so the major benefit that people get is sharing their experiences and listening to other experiences of the group, because it doesn't matter if it's your first time, if you've been a caregiver or been around caregivers, you have some wisdom to offer. So people find, you know, they learn things, they learn about local resources, they learn how others have handled certain situations, because while we're all unique, our families are unique, our loved ones are unique, there are very common themes and challenges that people are going to face. And then it's also, of course, a time to focus on the blessings and recognize the wonderful things that, you know, while this might be a challenging time, this is, you know, there are so many different blessings. And when you hear stories from other people, you start to realize the blessings that you have, that maybe they may be going through something tough, but you're not dealing with that particular thing, it's something else. but it gives everybody a sense of appreciation for the blessings that they do have.
There you go. And I just want to mention, we don't run out of time, but you have a new support page, right, that assists priests and ministers for those who are having to deal with dementia and Alzheimer's in their church parish. Yeah. So go to that. We'll touch on that next time we get together.
Okay.
Again, if they want to learn more, where do they go, Matt?
DementiaRosary.com, and they can go to /engage. DementiaRosary.com/engage.
Matt Estrade, friend of Catholic Community Radio, author, and all-around nice guy. Thank you for being with us.
All right. Thank you all. God bless.
God bless. All right.
What a valuable resource that guy is.
Yes.
Isn't that
very
amazing?
Much is.
I mean, because we're all witnessing it everywhere, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we are growing older, and we need to do it as gracefully as possible. Mm-hmm. And we're going to focus also on a great day today and wrap up in a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Anthony, glorious worker of wonders, you have assisted us in great kindness and have consoled us in our soul. We express that you now take our heartfelt gratitude, and we thank you once again for all your heavenly aid. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father,
Amen.
Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.